2017 meeting of the City of Goleta Design Review Board. I'm calling this meeting to order and would ask the roll call be taken.
Member Carroll.
Here.
Member Clinton.
Here.
Member Shaler.
Present.
Member Swainy.
Here.
Member Whalen.
Here.
Vice Chair Smith.
Here.
Chair Branch. Thank you.
Okay, and we'll go to the B section of the agenda with the meeting minutes. And I'd like to get a motion for acceptance of the minutes.
I so move.
Second.
And discussion.
I just want to thank the recording clerk for recording all those minutes and considerations that were part of the McDonald's review. That was a long list and it was well organized, so thank you for that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, then B2, Planning Director's Report.
No report today.
Okay, and review of agenda and projected agenda?
Today's agenda, there's two items to request it for continuance to your next meeting of April 25th, and that is item E1 and E2, and if we can have a motion and action taken for continuance, please.
I move to continue items E1, E2.
Second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So moved. And now we come to the public comment section. At this time, the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. It's requested that each speaker complete a speaker request form and give it to the recording clerk. Is there anybody that wishes to speak? Nobody here for that. So that takes us to item E, the sign review. The sign review subcommittee, as reporting to the rest of the board here, the sign subcommittee met at 2:15, and we looked through items E3, E4, E5, no, items E4, E5, and E6. We had not examined E3 yet. We kind of, for scheduling, kind of rearranged how we saw them. So I'm going to go from item E6 and go backwards. So item E6 was the Marriott Residence Inn overall sign plan and signage. We recommended continuance. The applicant had asked for two monument signs along Hollister Avenue, and he had reduced the wall signage to one sign. Sign subcommittee recommended that he looks at having instead two wall signs on the building itself and keep the monument sign that's at the corner of Robin Hill and Hollister, and to change and get rid, or basically remove the additional monument sign he was going to have at the drive-in entrance, and it would just be replaced as a directional sign. Do we need a motion and all that for continuance? I don't remember. I'm sorry.
Did the applicant say that they were ready for the next meeting? So it's continuance to a date of April 25th, please.
Yes. Okay. And then the next item, E5, was for 5940 Cai Real Paragon boxing signage.
Oh, excuse me.
Okay, motion. I'm sorry, action. I need a motion.
Chair, I'll motion to continue to E6 to April 25th.
Thank you. And a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Now we go to E5, 5940 Cai Real Paragon boxing signage. The applicant has, there's an existing pole, very low height pole mounted sign. It's almost like a monument sign. And they are merely they're basically replacing the logo on the signage with the device for their business, and also a smaller wall sign that'll be mounted on the building in a previous in a location where there's already a sign. Sign subcommittee agrees that the building sign is acceptable as submitted. However, the pole sign in the front we directed the applicant to go back, that the sign structure itself in the background not be black, but more of a color that fits the color palette for the building, and we recommended to the applicant that they check with the architect and look at the color palette he suggested and come up with something that fits.
I'll make that motion for continuance.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And that's to April 25th?
April 25th, yes. And then item E4, 5841 Hollister Avenue, car stereo guys and window tint signage. They had an application in for just one sign. It's a metal sign that fits on the building up in the portion of that building that normally would be reserved for a sign. That was that place, is kind of an old Western rustic look. It was a metal background with a matte finish with cutout lettering with red acrylic. And we said that we recommend a continuance. We recommended to take the background and make it not quite as long, trim it back in so it's closer to the lettering and you see more of the background structure. We also suggested to the applicant that he do a frame of the same rustic wood as the building around it to kind of make it fit more in keeping with that rustic old Western kind of a look, and that the red of the signage be a more of a, what is it, maroon, was that? Darker?
Darker hue red rather than a blood red.
And we recommend continuance to 426.
Chair Smith, I think one more item was to change the and symbol
to... We gave them a number of options and things to think about, and one of them was to reduce the overall height of the sign because there's basically three rows of lettering. The top one says car stereo guys, and then the second row is just the emblem and then window tint signage. And we had suggested to maybe give a little more space to that sign and all that to get rid of the and emblem and just say and in lowercase letters. But these are all options that we gave them to think about maybe and come back with. And
could I ask you a question? Sorry. Did you guys, is it acceptable for them to put window tint on that? Isn't that a service offering? And
I'm sorry, pardon me?
The window tint part?
Yeah.
Isn't that a service offering? Is that okay if it's on the building? I couldn't remember that. It was an ordinance that said you can't put your service offerings on your sign.
I think that's the name of their, yeah, that's their name.
The name of the
business. Well, that is their name.
Yeah. It's a long name.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. But thank you for bringing that up because these guys were sharper and understood it. And I'm afraid that I got to confess that part I went over my head. But thank you. So we're recommending continuance to April 25th on this one.
So I motion to continue item E4 to 425.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. And that brings us to item E3, which we didn't have time to hear, and we'd like to present it before the board. E3, 6025 Kai Riel, Cajun Kitchen signage. Okay, hi, Brian.
All right. Thank you, Chair. Okay, real quick, before I turn it over to representatives from Vogue Signs, this is a project application for replacement of an existing pole sign. The previous sign on there was for the Rusty's Pizza Parlor that had been there since the late 70s or so. Mm-hmm. So it's the same location, just the proposed sign is a bit shorter, and the sign itself is a bit smaller. So I did find an old entitlement for a number of pole signs in this location dating back to a number of other previous restaurants. And so they're okay from that standpoint. All the other zoning requirements related to freestanding pole signs were met by this proposal, so it really comes down to the design. So brings it here in front of the board. So I can turn it over, unless there's questions for staff, I can turn it over to Ron with Vogue Signs, and he can take it from there.
Does anybody have any questions for staff?
I don't think so.
I guess not.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very clear.
My name is Ronald Wilkinson. I'm with Vogue Sign Company. And we built this original sign for Rusty's Pizza very early 80s. I'm going to guess about 83, maybe 82. The sign that we're proposing now will go on to the same pole that's there now. However, we're going to remove the old dented, broken up pole cover and also beehive. and then we'll repaint that pole, and we've checked the structure of that pole and the extension already, and it's still intact and in very good shape. And so are the descender columns, which descend down through the extender column, extender pole. The ones that go down, they're 4-inch poles that go down on each side that hold the current cabinet. We'll remove that cabinet and make a new cabinet. And the new cabinet will be made of aluminum instead of the old sheet metal. It will be, the faces of the cabinet will be aluminum also, 090, thick aluminum. They will be painted that off-white color. And the sides of the cabinet will be painted black. On top of the background will be placed letters, individually illuminated letters with LED illumination that will say Cajun Kitchen. And I think those are 22-inch letters that say Cajun Kitchen. So they will have a red face. Inside will be LED illumination lamps, and then a black trim cap and black edges. And they will project from the face approximately 2 or 3 inches, about 3 inches max. Then below that will be also some channel letters that will say breakfast and lunch. And these letters will be in the daylight black. And the face of the letters will be overlaid over some white acrylic. So it will be what we call a black and white effect, so that at night the letters breakfast and lunch will be white, and in the daylight they'll be black. And this is done through perforated vinyl that's laid over the white. And you've seen this lots of times. You've seen buses and other vans and with this decoration on that people can see clearly out of the window, but if you look at it from the outside, there's some sort of a graphic on there. So that's how we're doing that. This is done often when you have a situation where you want to have black letters at night. How do you read them? So you have to do it this way. I think that's basically it. We checked the structure of the inside of the sign to see if the stuff in there is still good and the welds are good, and they are.
Okay. I've got a speaker slip on this, and this is Cecilia Brown, if you'd like to come up.
Do I press something?
Oh,
I'm on. Okay. Thank you. This is in my neighborhood, and I'm glad to see that the building's being redone and that we're getting a nice sign, but I think the sign is a bit too big. Letters are too big. The sign needs to be a little bit smaller, and really, breakfast and lunch, is that the name of the business? Cajun Kitchen Breakfast and Lunch? I'm not sure why we have those identifiers, but I think it'd be a much more elegant sign without breakfast and lunch. I don't understand from what Mr. Wilkinson said about the dimensionality of signs, of the lettering. Is there any dimensionality to Cajun Kitchen so there's some relief from the face of the sign? Because this is an internal, okay, what is it a quarter inch, a half inch?
I think it's 3 inches.
The letters are channel letters, and they will be 3 inches thick.
Okay, so they'll, okay, so at night, what is the illumination of this sign? Is it the white that's illuminated, or is it just the red?
The red letters will be illuminated red, and the black and white at night will be white.
Okay. Well, I would like to see a sign that's somewhat smaller. It's pretty big. I mean, if you looked at the Paragon sign, that's huge. For those who looked at that one, that sign is really out of place. It'd be nice to have something that's something smaller here without breakfast and lunch on it. Because next time you have a restaurant, it'll say breakfast and lunch or lunch and dinner, and I don't think that's appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so open this to questions from the board. Yes, Dennis.
Yes, thank you, Chair. When I look at these two pictures, the photo imagery, the one on the right, is just indicated with black, but I'm led to believe that the sort of wood frame of the original will remain.
No.
All right. No. So it's all going to be taken down.
Yes. The original sign that you see covered with plywood on the other one's proposed on the far left, the small picture, that sign was made with wood over metal. And the that entire cabinet will come down. It is 80 square feet, I believe. It's 10 foot high and 8 foot across.
It's less about the cabinet than the pole and the arm.
I misunderstood your question.
Okay. The photo on the left looks like it's wrapped in a wood frame.
No, it's not wood. It's sheet metal.
In a different material than what's on your right. So. Mm-hmm. What's new and what's old? What's proposed?
We're leaving the pole. We're taking off the pole cover that was is made of steel, and it's very bent and broken in places. And we're going to leave the existing round pole that's there and paint it.
Similar to what's portrayed photographically here. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's all to be painted black.
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
Karis?
Is this questions or comments or
questions?
Yeah.
Just questions?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to twist my question into being sort of a comment.
All right.
Is there any way you could make the cabinet have a shape to it like you did with the Rusty's one? Is that
It can be done, but we're not trying to. This is going to go with the rest of the architecture of the building. And the concept that they have, I believe they can address that even better than I. The concept that they have of the restaurant, they don't particularly want to have some fancy shapes. It's more with the architecture and what they're trying to produce.
Okay, thank you.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That's good. As far as the red lettering on the face there, how long does that last in the UV?
Good question. I use 3M products only. 3M products have a manufacturer's warranty of 9 years for color fastness. That was back in maybe 10 years ago. Now they last much longer. Like anything else that you can buy, there can be different levels of quality, and 3M Scotch-Cola is the best. So the longevity is very good. Now, does UV exist, and will it ultimately affect it? After about 15 years, yes.
Yeah, so just
some... Better than any paint you can buy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, understood.
Or anything else.
So, just to note that it's at 14 years, somebody's going to start thinking about putting that into the planning cycle to get...
Might take that long.
Yeah.
question for Brian. When you're modifying an existing sign like this, could adding a stone plinth to the bottom or something like that be a red flag?
I don't think that would create any issues from a zoning standpoint. We look carefully at pole signs just because the general plan tries to reduce their protrusion into the sky. These old, ones that had been previously entitled, we can't change that. But
change paint.
It's at the board's discretion. Sure, from a design standpoint. Sure.
Okay.
My other question for the applicant: What's your desire to light this sign? since it's a breakfast and lunch.
So it can be seen at night, and for people who are the location is right. Yes, absolutely. So all signs are for advertising.
Okay. That's my only question.
Okay. Member Carroll, just the last thing I would mention, if there was a base of some sort on this sign, it would still need to maintain the minimum distance from the public right-of-way, which the current sign, there's no issue. But I think the minimum distance is 5 feet. So whatever you might propose at the base would still have to meet that minimum distance.
Okay, thank you. Bill?
I didn't have any questions. Just...
But, well, now that we're at the end, we can start comments coming back the other way. So, fire away.
Yeah, let me just start out by saying it's clearly an improvement over the other sign, even when the other sign was in good shape. So I appreciate that. I kind of like the black and white angularity of it. But that being said, I think the sign is too large. The lettering, Cajun Kitchen, is too large. And for me, breakfast and lunch, to me, is almost tantamount to having an open and closed feature, and we've been real careful about having those things incorporated into signs. So I think the breakfast and lunch part could be gone, and I think that wouldn't be a real problem for your advertising. And then use what is left to try and create a sign that's just a little bit smaller, but I think this is going in the right direction.
Thank you. Aaron?
I think generally it's an improvement, and I would agree with what Bill just said about the letter height, maybe something in the range of 18 inches. The breakfast and lunch actually doesn't really bother me, but I understand that it might be precedent-setting. So maybe a sign that's more wider rather than rectangular sign. Maybe just squish it a little bit. I mentioned maybe adding some stone plinth to kind of tie it down into the landscape might be a nice detail. I'll leave that as a suggestion. I don't know. I still think illuminating it at night, I don't know, just... It's not open. The business isn't open at night, so why illuminate it at night? I don't know. That's just my opinion. But.
All right.
The only comment I would have is about the breakfast and lunch, if that's not part of the name and that's not permissible under current code. Mm-hmm. That would be the one thing I would want to see changed.
One thing, if I could interject on that. So there's nothing in the city zoning or sign ordinance about descriptors. There are several sign plans in town for shopping centers that limit descriptors. But the base ordinance, which I just double-checked actually this afternoon in anticipation of that question, it doesn't specifically prohibit them. Now, from a design standpoint, that's up to the board, you know, but there isn't just... For the record, there's not a provision in the ordinance that prohibits descriptors.
I, for one, greatly appreciate you double-checking that. Mm-hmm. Good yeah. forethought.
Could I offer something else if yeah. it's not interrupting? It says breakfast and lunch because that's what it is. And it's in a very public place. Lots of people will pull off the freeway and go to dinner. And by putting breakfast and lunch, it keeps people from making that mistake. So it's there's a purpose to that. Isn't that true?
That's actually true. That one of the major problems is this on.
No.
One of the major problems we have is traditionally Cajun kitchens are not breakfast and lunch restaurants. A lot of people are surprised when they find out that we are just breakfast and lunch. That's the reason we have it on there. I mean, we obviously like the design of it, but there is a reason breakfast and lunch is on there. It makes us very distinct from other places that would be called Cajun Kitchen.
There's other places called Cajun Kitchen?
Yeah, I mean, you go to the South, there's countless ones. Usually they start off with a name, okay. So-and-so's Cajun Kitchen.
I'm only familiar with the ones in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, there you go. We'll put my name on it.
Just one more thing. So I'm the designer that came up with this design. I do a lot of the aesthetics for Cajun Kitchen and other businesses. This was inspired by just the classical diner signs that you see all over California. We love Goleta. We live here. And we wanted something that was going to fit this whole area. You know, the whole Fairview Shopping Center has this classic American farmland feel to it. And it's really important that this fits into that context. And so for two things, I think the breakfast and lunch does a better job of fitting into that kind of Americana classic metal diner sign. And it's, gosh, in Goleta, there's just not a lot of places to get breakfast, frankly. Cajun's kind of cleaning up on that. It's a good thing. But I think that is a good reason to clarify that, too, that it's kind of specifically a breakfast location with lunch also. As far as the other question with the box design, really fits in well with that whole Fairview Shopping Center. The architecture, the cream white color is going to be spot on the same as the building paint, so it'll be very consistent. The red, you can see it, actually, it's up today. You can see the new red sheet metal roof that, especially as you're coming over the overpass, is going to look great with this red. It's going to tie in really well and look consistent with the building.
You mentioned someone said a number of 18 inches. I wonder where you got that number. Would that be a better number to read than something else? Because I think it's an arbitrary choice on your part. And we wanted to do is have the lettering fit into the shape and have it be readable. And this happens to be 22 inches. Rusty's, the old Rusty's had a very much larger R and a smaller, a larger S and a larger P. And then this is much a smaller sign with smaller letters.
Brian, question for you. Where does that 18-inch come from? Is there something in the sign ordinance that talks about that?
No. I believe it just came from Member Carroll. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm just asking. I'm just asking. Okay. Well, we're on comments, and we stop with Aaron there.
So I'll just wrap up by saying if the descriptor is not in the code, then it's not in the code. So.
And I didn't say that to detract from. I mean, I think it still can be a design issue. It's just you can't reference it toward the code because
right.
It's not
and
in
those
there.
Are two. You know, right. I feel very tied to the code and as put forth by the people. And if it's not in the code, it's not in the code.
Mm-hmm. Karis.
Okay, so I'm okay with the breakfast and lunch if it's not part of the code. That was my big concern. I don't mind the size because it's really high and it's way out there. It's not anywhere. I like the stone plinth idea or some sort of grounding element because it does kind of look like it's... Yeah. Ever so slightly tilted. It's probably the picture, but it's just. But it does. I think that will help the element as long as we can do it within the 5 feet. But it looks like there's tons of room.
It's way
there,
out there.
So, yeah. I keep coming back to the box shape, and I was trying to get him to look up the other signs in the Fairview, but I'm pretty sure that most of them have some sort of shaping to them. And I know your guys' logo is round, isn't it? On the shirts and everything, it's round. I see those a lot. So maybe we could do some sort of, Fairview is square. That one is, yeah.
The logo is very ornate. I drew it in detailed with sort of French curvature, breakfast and lunch over the top. The letters, you can actually, it's a good example is if you look at Chapala, when you're going down Chapala, there's a pretty... Two large signs, one on Chapala, one on
Campadito.
The Cajun Kitchen one there the Cajun on the Kitchen corner, on or the one that's just down the corner from Mission? That
right.
One?
No, not from Mission.
The one on Milpas. I don't know that one.
No, it's downtown. It's on Chapala and Campadito, across the street from.
Oh, that new one over there by the Nordstrom. California Pizza Kitchen?
Kind of that little area right there? Yeah.
The logo. Let's say it was the size of this paper, would make the letters incredibly small. very tiny. And the way that that was designed is the letters, which actually are across the top. For this size, it would be almost illegible. It'd be really small. So
I'm not so much speaking of the lettering. I think the lettering is fine.
I thought you were saying
fine.
The logo.
No, the cabinet.
Right.
Just the square of the cabinet. There's just a lot of square signs, and I don't think that's somewhere we want to go. I think we want to go more towards things that look like... Nobody liked the old rusty sign, I guess, but I thought it wasn't that bad. I mean, it had a nice shape to it, and it was very iconic.
Certainly the...
When I was in high school.
The,
a long time ago.
The goal was to go away from an old-fashioned and more towards a classic architecture. Not a modern at all, because... Yeah. It's not what Goleta is. Goleta is got this farmland mystique. So, yeah, I mean, when in researching and looking at all these old signs, usually the decoration and the lettering and the design is taken within the space. And frankly, we kind of wanted to keep it understated. I mean, it's a big pole sign that was grandfathered in with the old owner. Part of the attractiveness of the property, frankly, was that. It's a nice advertisement piece. And we didn't want it to, you know, make any red flags and do something crazy and ornate, which is why we didn't try to illuminate the whole box. We're trying to keep the illumination minimum, keep it classy, keep it understated.
I appreciate that. Just a simple something with the cabinet, just to make it not square. Keep trying to pull everything back from being square. Some sort of shape, if you want to do straight circle or a bit of circle with a bit of curve somewhere, but just... It could be simple, it could be elegant. In fact, I would prefer that, if you can, but some sort of shape. That's my little thing. And like I said, I just second the plinth idea. I think that's a good idea.
I would reiterate and support Member Sheeler's comments. I do think it could benefit from being, say, 5% smaller. Is it a brand new cabinet, or are you really well done? In that case, I do think it could benefit from that. The one thing I would suggest is that the pole and the cabinet not be black, but perhaps a dark brown, more of an agricultural color, and that would relate to the building.
Just to clarify that, because that's a really good point, black is very black.
And it fades, so...
The colors, the color scheme of the Cajun Kitchens, the current Goleta one in the Kmart shopping center and the others that we've redesigned, it's actually it's like a charcoal. It's a nice charcoal. It's actually got a little bit of a warmth to it. So Ron's going to get the final colors, both for the cream of the building and the exact red and the exact charcoal, but it's actually not going to be black. It's going to be a warm, dark charcoal.
We would benefit from seeing the colors. Does that by implication mean that it's going to come back? Or what am I hearing, Chair?
A shade of black?
Probably would be, I don't know because we don't have a motion on the floor, but it sounds like we're moving toward a continuance with some comments.
Chair, if I have can I get
a... Are you done with your... Are you? I didn't mean to interrupt with you. You were... All right. Bill?
Thank you, Chair. I think since there's not a clear consensus here, that maybe we need to get a little bit more information. What I'd like to see is a nighttime visualization of what the sign looks like. You kind of indicated how it looks, but I'm not familiar exactly with what you're talking about. So that's one thing I'd like to see also. And just... Not to be a contrarian, but the fact that you'd like to indicate that you're only open for breakfast and lunch and not dinner. I understand and that makes sense, but that opens up the box of an establishment that doesn't serve breakfast could put a descriptor up on their sign saying lunch and dinner, and that would be fairly the same situation. So I think there's an issue with that I have, that's a level of specificity that I'm not really sure that I can support on this kind of signage.
Thank you, Bill. My comments on this, I like the design of the sign. I think I like the way this is going, the type font, color, I would agree with Member Whalen about the color that on the pole that it, and the edges of that cabinet side, that it obviously not going to be that black look, that it's something more in keeping with the building. And I kind of see the point that some of our members have made about reducing the size a little bit. I think again, Member Whalen mentioned about 5% smaller, and I think I could live with that myself as well. I'm ambivalent about the breakfast and lunch thing, because I was under the impression that it sounded like having a descriptor on a sign was something in the code. I'm not anxious to approve something that runs contrary to what the sign ordinance might say, but I understand now that it really is not in the sign ordinance.
Yeah, that's correct. It's not in the sign ordinance, although, I mean, one could argue that it affects the overall design. So the board still has the ability to make comment on design.
Well, from a design standpoint, I think it works with the design of the sign myself. I think what we need to do is I need to get a motion to continue this and have you guys come back kind of with some of the comments that we're taking away from here. So I'd like to either have somebody make a motion, or I'll be happy to make
the
motion.
I'll take a crack at it.
Okay.
Motion to continue with the comments the overall design of the sign is nice and generally supported. Several board members mentioned reducing the font size of Cajun Kitchen by 5%.
Well, I think it was you. I think there was like the whole thing as a sign.
Oh, was it the whole?
Everything proportionately.
Okay.
Yeah.
The entire cabinet by 5% reduction. Consider adding a stone plinth or other detail at the base of the existing pole to ground it into the landscape, and to provide a nighttime visualization of the sign.
And the pole color.
And to consider a more of a off black or earth tone color for the pole and the horizontal pieces.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Can I make a comment on the motion, Chair? I just would like to note that the applicant has, their proposal is 20% smaller. That's just a point of fact.
Yes.
Than what's existing.
Thank you. But I didn't read that part. I didn't realize.
So you want it still more smaller?
Well, let me put this back to discussion with the board here for a second. I'd like to, whatever I do procedurally, I'd like to table this motion at this point. Is that doable?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to bring this back to the board and get their views on the question of the cabinet size. In that it is, as Aaron noted, that the existing, as proposed, this cabin is 20% smaller than the sign that was there. So, starting with you, Bill.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I do appreciate that it's significantly smaller. The original sign there was really not a good visual thing for that part of Goleta. So this is obviously going to be an improvement. I still think, and hopefully that this is accurate in its depiction and dimension, that it's still a little bit too large. I think that the trade-off of making it a little bit smaller is not going to create people missing the Cajun Kitchen when they're driving on either direction there.
Okay, thank you. Aaron?
I just thought 22 inches was a little too high for the Cajun Kitchen, but I was also okay with the 5% reduction overall.
Okay. Aaron?
Yeah, I just wanted to note everything about the sign is smaller.
Yes.
So their proposal is already in the direction we want to go.
Yeah.
If the board wants to reduce by a further 5%, I guess I can support that. But I also don't want to set a precedent where we train applicants to ask for the sign to increase by 5%, mm-hmm. to come down by 10, and
right.
they look great when we've got an applicant that's asking to reduce it by 20 from the get-go. So if it's another 5, you know, okay, fine. But let's put credit where credit's due.
Could I say too. Something to that? That's the point. I mean, thank you for saying that. We're trying to hit it on the head. We wanted mm-hmm. to come in here and just have it be an improvement from a number of different ranges. That's my point. I mean, if another 5% scratches that itch of just making it even smaller than it was proposed, then what I'm saying is that's fine. You know, if it's going to be, you know, 5% is a very
yeah.
small amount of visual. If that's what it takes to push it over the edge, then that's acceptable. We can handle that. We can go 25% smaller than the original sign instead of 20% smaller.
Okay. Karis?
Well, I'm of the mind that I would wanted to see the shape change, so I'm not too concerned about the 5% or not, because obviously if you change a shape, that's gonna okay. that's your 5% right there. Okay. Just cut the corners off and you got it. Right. But yeah, I'm like I said before, I'm okay with the size, and I like the lettering, and I like the breakfast and lunch.
To the fine. Box shape, I would say again, I wish we had, is there possible to pull up a street photo?
I did pull one up. From what I can see from street view, for what it's worth, the gas station on the east side is a square sign. The main signs on the Fairview Plaza, on the promenade are both square. And the only one I could see that wasn't square was at the turn-in. And it's kind of got it's square bottom with a pitch.
And additionally,
mimicking the roof.
The Cajun sign on Chapala that we talked about before, the original location, is a rectangle,
yeah. is a rectangle.
With hard square hard shapes. Square.
Okay.
And then inside of that, it has the attractive,
yeah.
the decoration of the logo. Yeah. So it's kind of an important branding point for the business. Square. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
And Dennis.
Well, if I remember correctly what I said, I was okay with it, but it could be 5% smaller, which is only 3.2 square feet.
Right.
So it's a very small about. So okay. I'm not hard and fast about making it smaller. As Member Sweeney has said, it is smaller now. I would quibble about the 20%, but that's pointless.
Okay.
So if that answers your question, Chair.
Yes, it does. Thank you. Okay, so Aaron, can I ask you to try again for the motion?
My motion has been made already.
Oh.
We need a second.
Okay, well, but we stopped in the middle of it because of...
No, I was finished. You want me to repeat it?
Well, go ahead.
May I ask one more question?
Yes.
So I think that we really like the plinth idea. I think that that's fantastic.
Okay.
I think that we agree with the not black idea.
Yeah.
Good point. And with the box shape kind of being established as somewhat consistent in the area and definitely for the brand's identity, whether it's 20% smaller than the original sign or 25% smaller, what's left? It sounds like we have agreement. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. It sounds like we're all pretty much in consensus. We could do a motion with that, those aspects.
The motion has said 5%, the whole box.
And then they can check to make sure that it happens. There.
It sounded like I heard a retraction. That's what it sounded like to me. Is that incorrect?
I think what they want to do is get it approved today.
Yeah, I understand.
As opposed to coming back another month.
All right, I understand. So... You want to your motion was for approval with those conditions?
My motion was, no, it was for continuance.
Okay.
With those conditions.
So where are we? So proceed, okay, now I'm getting hung up procedurally here.
I think if Aaron, you want to make a motion, if that's agreeable, that you restate your motion for approval and see if it passes or fails.
Right.
So approval with these conditions?
Correct, yeah. And then we could do staff conformance review.
Okay.
approval with staff conformance review to add a stone plinth or other detailing at the base of the column. Use more of an earth tone or off gray color for the steel pole. And
reduce that?
5% reduction of the entire sign. And did I miss anything?
Color. There was one thing that I wanted to include, and I don't know if this can be done under this kind of conformance review.
Oh, the nighttime.
With the chair. Is the just nighttime. To have a nighttime visualization of what this sign will actually look like at night.
I can do that with also, and I can show, bring in a sample of how what it looked like.
Thank you.
Chair, just as a procedural clarification, if any time during staff conformance review we feel that we need to touch base with the chair to make sure that's what, and we will do that.
Okay, good. Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any discussion? If not, I'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Okay. One nay, and motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, Linda, could you announce the next item up here? I think that would be F1.
Item F1 is conceptual review. It's for the Hollister Village Apartments, located at 7000 Hollister Avenue. It's case number 16129 DRB.
Chair, you want staff report?
Yes, please.
Okay, so this is a project that has been referred to you by the Planning Commission. I'll give a quick little background and kind of set the stage of where.
When do I need to do? I have the declarations.
After my staff report's fine. Okay. So you see on the screen there the what was known as the Westar Project is now called Hollister Village. And as you probably know, it's all been constructed with the exception of the black highlighted triangle. That was originally approved with the whole project as three commercial buildings, two of a retail building, and then one five live work building. This project is coming forward with an amendment to that particular triangle piece, and that's vacant currently. They're coming in with a 33-unit apartment project, and it's going to have to go through Planning Commission and City Council. And we did bring it to this Planning Commission last month, and the Planning Commission wanted your review and comments on the landscaping, open space, including the rooftop features. And specifically, they wanted to have some comments on the details of the rooftop design and open space, whether it's viable and appropriate for the project. And also they wanted to have drawings that showed the height of the tallest component of the building and views of all sides of the building that may be seen from the rooftop feature, including how people look when they're standing within the wells. So I'll let the applicant discuss the details of the open space landscaping and rooftop feature. But just wanted to let you know that your purview or the request from Planning Commission today and how this project has been noticed is only on the open space landscaping and rooftop feature. The project, as it goes through the process, when it's completed, will come back to you for the overall project design review.
Thank you. So at this point, I'm going to ask for declarations from the board members.
Site visit? No ex parte.
I've been to the site before. No ex parte.
Site visit, 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 and I had ex parte conversations this morning, and I don't remember the name.
Connor Best.
With Connor Best this morning about the project. Okay, so we'll turn it over to the applicant.
Good afternoon, members of DRB. Connor Best with Westar Associates on behalf of the Hollister Village project. It's been a little while since we've been in front of you. Some new faces. It's good to see. The last time we were here was about June of 2015. I just wanted to kind of bring you up to speed on the comments we received from that meeting and the progress we've made. So I don't have a large plan, but here's the old site plan here, if you can see that. If you want the colored version, we've got the old one. Yeah, here's the colored version of the old site plan. So I'll just run through the minutes. And so number one was restudy the circulation of the project site area instead of having one entrance drive. Examine moving the entrance to the westerly location, possibly a secondary entrance. So we did that. We now have.
There you go.
There you go. Thank you very much. So we now have two entries there. The second item was study relocating the trash enclosure, which was located here. We moved it to the center across the drive aisle. The third item was restudy location of guest parking and incorporate that. So
it was down to the south. Previously it was here.
Oh, previously it was here. Yep. Incorporate it more into the rest of the parking for the units. So now all the parking is up off, you know, accessed from the north instead of the south. Item four was study the northwesterly elevations of the buildings with reference to the garage doors, building articulation, and possible screening from Village Way. So between the second new entrance, we've included much more landscaping, and we included a block wall?
Mm-hmm.
There's a block wall there to screen the kind of back of house garage portion of those buildings. The fifth item was submit cross sections from Glen Annie across through the park and across from Glen Annie Road. So we have those for you today. Item six was re-examine the position of the site with consideration regarding the number of units as needed with regard to the number of covered parking spaces. So 12 covered parking spaces have been designed as covered carports. Now all of the exterior carports, but for these four, guest parallel spaces, those are not covered. But all the rest of the kind of permanent resident parking spaces are covered. And the seventh item, drought tolerant planting with use of recycled water throughout the ground covered landscaping. So hopefully you're happy with our changes there. So we got 7 out of 7, which we're very proud of. We appreciate the DRB's input there. So today we're coming before you to study these new features that we have, which are rooftop community gardens. So a little bit of background. This project was originally approved and entitled and is approved for 3 commercial buildings, 2 pure retail buildings, and 1 kind of shopkeeper living building. So this is kind of the massing elevation that was conceptually approved from DRB. Here's the 3-story live work shopkeeper units. So we have come in to switch this portion of the site from commercial use to residential use. And since the last time we saw you, we realized we needed more residential common open space, which is for the use of guests and residents. So we did that by providing these really cool new rooftop community gardens with great views of the San Ynez Mountains, great views of the Channel Islands for use. You know, it will kind of complement the other existing uses around here, the bocce ball courts, the pool, the tot lot, the dog park. This will kind of provide a passive, quiet, cool, private space up on the roof for people to sunbathe without the peering eyes of their neighbors out of their windows and things like that. So we think that it's a really cool concept, and Planning Commission would like you to see it and give us your specific thoughts on the design of these rooftop gardens. So we have a couple options for you. And with that, I will turn it over to our design team.
Thank you, Connor. I'm Courtney Jane Miller, landscape architect, and I'm here with Katie Klein, who's project manager for our office. As Connor mentioned the last time we were here, we did receive positive comments and some minor tweaks were requested for the site plan. So primarily, as he and Mary mentioned, what we'd like you to look at and focus on is the roof gardens today. And what we'll do is kind of walk you through the design intent and details of those areas. So, you know, this did come up at Planning Commission. There was a question of whether or not this could be considered open space. In my opinion, and in, as a design team, I think our interpretation of it is that open space is really intended to provide both active and passive use, and it's really about function and aesthetic. So what we accomplished here was a design, I think, that meets both of those things. The idea was that we could use these rooftops as a garden element and really have that serve as a space where the residents and their guests can enjoy the outdoors, you know, get some sun on their face and be surrounded with plantings in various configurations and have a nice place to sit and read, etc. So one of the things I wanted to help explain a little bit further, and I'll flip to the next page, is how our stormwater is working. So essentially, there's a lot more on this sheet that we'll continue to describe, but the idea with these roof gardens is that they will be 100% permeable. So we have a combination of surface materials here. We have planted areas, which Katie will describe a little bit further. We also have decking, wood decking, and pedestal paver systems, both of which will have the water filter through and then down into our storm drain system. So I have a couple of details here I can share with you just to help further describe that. So this shows just a typical roof, green roof system. Here you see the green roof panel itself adjacent to a pedestal paver system. And essentially the rainwater will fall either into the planted area or onto the pavers and flow between or through and then underneath into the roof drain and then through that roof drain system, exit out on site and will be filtered through our stormwater treatment system and then into the chamber system that's already been installed as part of the retail site. So it's a little potentially confusing to picture, but essentially all of the stormwater will be treated and then the volume will be managed through those chamber systems that exist already. So otherwise, so what we have here for you today, the last time that we went to Planning Commission, we presented the previous sheet design, which is shown here, a little bit smaller. So today we brought two, another option as well as that one for the board's consideration, because what we'd really like to do is have this be a little bit more collaborative and really get the board's input on which option you'd prefer. And we have some different design components for each that we can further explain. And the other thing that I'll mention here is this is a rooftop, so we're looking specifically at durability and maintenance for most of the plant material. So currently I think we have about 5 of these in construction and about 7 more in the works, so it's not something that we're unfamiliar with. And the live roof system, which is one option that we're looking at for the actual panels themselves, they do have specific maintenance specs that we include in our spec document and require the contractor to adhere to, as well as the property owner. So that's something that, you know, let us know if you have any other questions on that, but we are confident that these will be maintained in perpetuity and look beautiful for the life of the project. Otherwise, I think that's kind of the general overview. So I'll let Katie kind of walk you through the two different designs and the specifics of each.
So I have some plant imagery for you.
Okay.
So yes, there's two options, and this is still very preliminary, so I'm just going to walk through the design intent of each option and the plant material. So for the roof garden option one, the focus was more towards grasses and sedums and also planters, you can see here. So I'll walk you through the colors because I know that can be kind of confusing. The colors are supposed to intend to be a certain plant material. So if you look at the legend that I gave you, for option one, the blue planting is the blue all along in here. And what that, the idea is to have blue planting, Senecio, Lamus, and blue sedum. So this isn't hold fast, these are the plants. These are just an idea of the planting. And same with the tan. We want to have more grasses. So Festuca, Boudalua, and some rust sedums is the idea. And the dark green, also grasses, Juncus, Festuca, and a green sedum. And then we also have areas of light planting, light green planting, light green sedum, and Lamandra. So the idea is to provide a variety of different colors and textures in the space to really make you feel like you're in an open space, an enjoyable aesthetic, and a variety of different experiences throughout the space. And there's also different options for seating where you can, you know, be in a group or, you know, more private seating area. And so the imagery over here also kind of gives you an idea of what this first option is. This first option also has a green space of 57% and a 43% accessible decking. Planning Commission was interested in to know the percentage of actual green space. So if you turn the page, you can go to option two for the plant legend. So for this design, the idea was to have kind of California planting. We have native meadow mounds, which are depicted here. So that's kind of the green mounding. And the idea here, you can see in the imagery as well, is to provide a mound that really makes you feel like you're in a green space and you're enclosed, and it's just a nice feeling of seating with also views out into the ocean and the mountains as well. So it really makes you feel like you're in an open space. And the planting would be mainly native and different variety of grasses as well. The other option here is to have California desert planting. So we're thinking more succulents, desert cacti, sedum in those spaces, here. And then over here, we wanted to have a more variety of more habitat type planting. So habitat plants that hummingbirds will like, butterflies will like. So it really provides a different experience of California planting in both buildings. And also provides seating areas throughout and a different experience. And this has more greenery. We have 70% green space to the 30% accessible decking. And this imagery also supports that and is helpful to see the plant types.
Is there any other use besides seating?
No, or not at this just time. Just
barbecue or any kind of just seating?
Well, can you speak to that? Yeah. So our intent here is not to provide any sort of active space, no barbecues, no televisions, no fire pits, and nothing of that nature. More of, you know, an open park type of scenario. We've got the active spaces already throughout the site. The tot lot, that's an active, noisy run around space. The pool, you know, you can swim. There's a sports bar down there with two, you know, waterproof TVs that you can see and everything like that. So the bocce ball courts as well as the dog park. So when we were looking at kind of the programming of the whole site, we were looking at trying to do more of a passive, quiet type of space. And these being on the roof, we really didn't want people jumping around or turning up amplified music or anything like that. So through our management, we're going to, you know, kind of restrict the hours. No, you know, you're not going to be up there late at night. It's for the daytime views, and there's not going to be any amplified music or anything like that up there. So that's our intent.
And there is a variety of seating spaces, like a sun deck and more private and open spaces.
Okay, so lastly, I'll just walk you through the sections here. Okay. Okay, so this was something I think the board requested the last time we were here to better understand the building massing and its relationship to the surrounding community and adjacent park and retail center. So starting at the top, we have our first site section labeled number one here. The key map at the right indicates where that's taken, and it's it goes through our building 20. Yeah, building 20, which is the easterly building, and cuts across Glen Annie Road. So this is our building 20, Glen Annie Road. And what we've done is given you line of sight from a 5 foot six person tall person on the east side of the road, as well as the west side of the road, looking back up towards the building and towards that roof deck element. So on the roof, you'll see two different people. One is closer to the parapet. That's another feature of the rooftop design, is there are 42-inch high parapets that are essentially designed into the roof structure that help to kind of nestle those roof areas into the structure of the building, and looks much better than, you know, your traditional kind of guardrail style parapet, because it just looks like a roof from the exterior of the building. So with option one, we do have more decking area around the perimeter of those buildings. So you will have the condition where people might be a little bit closer to the edge. With option two, they'll be further back, as we have, I think, a minimum of 5 foot of plantings around the perimeter of both buildings. So that gives you an indication of kind of those line of sights, both onto and off of the building. So moving on to section two, key map at the right. This takes a different view through that same building 20 from the southerly part of our site, kind of north up to building one, which is part of the existing apartment site. So across Village Way and up the slope to our building one. Again, this indicates sight lines from people walking on that sidewalk that's on this side of the road, so essentially here, if you can see that, up towards the building. And you'll see the same condition with two people, one for option one, one for option two, indicating generally where people might be standing on that rooftop. And then lastly, our third section, I think, really helps demonstrate the building massing and how it kind of steps up as you move from the retail site to the apartment site. So this gives you top of building elevations. You'll see on the retail site we have 74.6 indicated there for the top of that building. And then for our building 19 we have 81. And then up to building 1 on our apartment site, 88.2, I believe it says. So this also shows you about, you know, what that difference is in height between building 1 and our building 19. So it does nestle pretty well into kind of the visual landscape, if you will, if you were to view these buildings from Hollister. And Connor's going to interject.
And then one other feature we wanted to point out about the cross sections was kind of where the existing grade is. We've got some dirt to remove at the site, so where these buildings sit will be lower than where the dirt is out there today. So we put that there as well. So, I don't know if we have elevation height on that, but we can get that information for you. But just want to let you know that site will be lowered.
Yeah, that's a good point. So so mainly I think the purpose of these, as I said, is to assess how these roof deck elements will kind of fit into the landscape and the building and the site and the neighborhood. See if I had anything else. So I guess that covers it. You know, basically the idea of these green roofs, as I said, is to provide a nice, quiet, viscerally calming kind of experience. And I think, you know, the options that we've got for design really give you guys some indication of where we're headed with the design. We're still in concept level, so what we'd like from you is hopefully some positive comments that we can take back to Planning Commission and, you know, The other thing I'll just mention is that, you know, these areas are not only intended to provide an aesthetic quality, but also as habitat and for stormwater cleansing and to help reduce the heat island effect, et cetera. So there are lots of benefits of green roofs kind of as a whole that we didn't necessarily cover. But if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. So we look forward to your comments.
Thank you, Courtney. At this point, we've got some speaker slips.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry?
If I could just run through some elevation changes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you guys were done.
No problem. So Courtney's did a great job explaining kind of the open space features of this, but with the common open space being on the roof, we did include, some new elevator towers so that the roof decks could be enjoyed by people of all abilities. So these roof deck elements were not reviewed by you last time, but they fit architecturally. So this elevator tower, so we located both of the elevator towers to the inside portions of the buildings so that wouldn't affect, you know, the tallest portions would not be on the outsides of the project, and just make it easier for anyone to get to either building if they wanted to. So another benefit of this is that all of the units now in both buildings on both floors are all accessible units. So we'll increase our accessibility to the overall project greatly. So I've got some height information for you. Mm-hmm. Nope, that's not over there.
Yeah, isn't it?
No, they're on the inside.
Oh, I got it backwards.
Yeah, they're right there. Okay. So some height information for you from the code. Building height is defined. Vertical distance from the finished grade of the lot to the highest points of the coping of a flat roof or to the mean height of the highest gable or pitched roof. So the mean height is about 26.6 of these buildings, but these elevator towers go up to about 38.8. Elevator housings and chimneys are not subject to or included in max height calculations, and they're allowed to be up to 50 feet per the Inland Zoning Ordinance, Section 35-276. So these are about 38.8. These chimneys are about 32.9. The building height's approximately 26.6. And then the height of this, so here's kind of the pitched roof. The height of the finished floor of the deck to that is about, the actual elevation is about 23 feet, so it's about 42 inches below that roof line. And now we...
Thank you.
Is there a 22-inch parapet on top of the 48 inches? No, the 42 inches is the parapet height.
Oh, okay.
So it'd be just below this roof line here, somewhere in there.
Sorry, 23 feet is the finished grade.
You can see here. Right. Yeah, you can see it a little bit better in this section.
Oh, yeah.
So 42 inches is indicated there. This is about 23 feet elevation, and then 26.6.
Before we get too much farther into questions, though, this is the point that we have speakers that would like to speak, unless there's more to the applicant's presentation. Troy, okay.
We're good.
Very good. Okay, so the first person I'd like to call would be Barbara Massey.
Thanks, Linda. Good afternoon. I don't understand why this project wasn't brought to you before it went to the Planning Commission. There have been a number of changes since you reviewed it in June of 2015. They have moved the public park, added elevator towers and a rooftop gardens. I guess that you're only allowed today to look at the rooftop gardens and landscaping. I was surprised that you weren't provided with a copy of the drawing of the rooftop garden that was in the Westar's PowerPoint presentation for the Planning Commission, which they saw briefly. I have provided you with a copy. The gardens don't appear to have kid-friendly plantings. It just looks like an area to walk through with some plantings in it. It may work to claim it as open space, but it has little real feel of open space. The California desert plants include cactus and other people-unfriendly plants, which isn't good either. There doesn't seem to be much space for people to relax and enjoy themselves or for kids to play. Has anyone thought about the potential problems from the pedestal system during earthquakes? Just a question. The roof would have been better used and more environmentally friendly with solar system on it. The only reason they are providing the rooftop gardens is because they need to have more open space, and they have covered all the ground with buildings. So, guess what? We get it on the roof. They didn't reduce the number of units to make enough space available, and they should have. The park is a public park, open to everyone, not just Hollister Village. Why then have they placed a 5 to 6 foot steel perimeter fence along the southern boundary? Access to the park is limited and narrow, even from the development. Finally, the issue of rooftop gardens really is a policy decision that needs to be made by City Council. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker slip would be Cecilia Brown.
Thank you. You know, as I look at this, it's sort of confusing to me how this space will be used, because it doesn't look like it's very friendly. People will be sitting out in the sun. Will there be umbrellas? There's no trees planned. How does this space, how is it compatible with adjoining buildings? Are people going to see people standing on this roof? The landscaping feels to me not like an open space, but it feels like a bunch of little planters. And I think that I'm not really sure, because this is brand new to the city. You've never seen something like this. It sets a precedent. And I think you have to be careful when you look at this kind of design of just what are you trying to accomplish here? How is it going to be used? People are going to come and just sit in these chairs in broad daylight? It's not that kind of open space. It's certainly not habitat. Habitat for hummingbirds has got trees. There's no trees here. To me, it's a very awkward space. They're trying to make a purse out of a sow's ear. I don't know. I understand what they're trying to do, but I don't think they're getting there, and I'm not sure to give you the kinds of appropriate comments that would help. But it's just, it doesn't feel very welcoming. It feels very hard and cold. Grasses in planters. Grasses should be in great mounds, you know. And here you don't. I don't feel that. I don't see that. And I think having succulents on a hot rooftop garden really aren't appropriate, particularly cactus and things. Anyway, I just think there's some issues you got to hash out here. And unfortunately, the Planning Commission handed you a lump of coal to try to make a piece of cake out of it.
Thank you, Cecilia. And then we have a third speaker slip from Dr. Ingeborg Cox.
Thank you, design review members. Isn't this the first housing project in Goleta that is requesting rooftop design to be considered a viable open space? If the answer is in the affirmative, this is a precedent-setting decision. Also, the new elevator towers are a new addition. When a developer makes considerable changes to his initial approved project, shouldn't the plan go back through the entire process? On the ground, open spaces bring a visual break of the built environment. They also provide easy access for children's play areas and people in wheelchairs. Have these roof gardens been adequately analyzed for possible consequences? What would happen if an earthquake to all the concrete pedestal plans for these rooftop gardens? What about broken irrigation lines if they are on the roof? Also, concrete has a tendency to crack. And what about the maintenance required for this type of garden? Who will be paying for that? Has anyone analyzed the wet environment on the roof instead of on the ground? What about mold? It has health consequences. Are the buildings going to cost more because it appears that initial costs of green roofs are higher than those of conventional materials? According to an EPA article, a University of Michigan study found that a green roof would cost approximately $464,000 to install versus $335,000 for a conventional roof. This is in 2006 dollars. What is the cost now? It appears that these gardens will be only for adults. The concrete and wood pedestals are not for playing. The desert plant area will have cacti, and the metal mound does not appear to be designed for a child. Children like to explore, run, and play games. Are dogs going to be allowed in the area? It appears not. In my opinion, the general public is going to be removed from the equation when you have to go to the roof to access an open space. The actual open space of this development should be enlarged on the ground so that the children can be children and the handicap access is easier. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Cox. So I think I want to open this up to the board for questions. And I have a question that I would like to start with. And this is mainly for staff, I think. On the need for open space for this, are we talking open space that's only for, that's part of the calculations for just this lot? Or is the open space that's being envisioned also tie in with the need, a need for open space with the rest of the development?
That's a good question. It is just for that triangular piece, minus, and I missed out on saying that part of this project includes a 0.42-acre park.
Okay.
That park was allocated to the original project to count for open space. That's why they're short, even though they're next, right next to a park.
Okay, so the park
is not included.
It counts for open space on the rest of the development.
Exactly.
But if you were to separate that, fence that off, say, then the open space on the roofs is calculated in as the open space for this lot.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. I'll start with Member Shelor there.
So is it accurate to say that the project doesn't meet the open space requirement without the rooftop?
That's correct. Okay. It's a 40% requirement.
I had a procedural question just to start with regarding the on-site posting of these meetings.
Mm-hmm.
When I was out and doing my site visit, I saw that there was the yellow sign out there, and then there was an attachment to it indicating that there was going to be a planning commission meeting, which was a month ago. Was there any intent or is there any way to update those things to let people in that area know that there was going to be a design review board meeting today on the same project?
Typically, we do not post for DRB meetings, but we do the noticing to the residents, and to interested parties.
Okay, thank you. I guess my next two questions are going to be for the applicant. How did you come to realize that you needed additional common open space at this point in the project?
We came to this realization because we had double counted the 0.42-acre park on the ground. So it was an error on our part, and staff brought it to our attention, so we corrected the error by trying to provide more open space. So residential requires more open space than the previously approved commercial, so that's where we messed up. So it was an error on our part.
So rather than reducing the footprint of the project and reducing units, you decided that the open space would be met through the rooftop, green rooftop deck.
That is correct.
Okay. If for whatever reason the city council or whoever the decision-making body will be will not allow this to count as open space, common open space, would you still include this green rooftop deck?
I don't understand the question.
Right now the rooftop deck is being provided to provide common open space. If for some reason that rooftop deck is decided that it doesn't count as common open space, and you have to provide the common open space somewhere else on the ground in the project, will you still include the rooftop deck in your project?
So to answer your question a little indirectly, without counting these rooftop decks as open space, residential does not work as a use for this portion of the site. So without counting this open space, these rooftop decks as open space, we would go back to a commercial option.
Okay.
Which has 5%.
which has a 5% requirement of open space compared to a 40% common open space.
And then one last comment has to do regarding, thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome.
That has to do with what the Planning Commission was asking for, and it asked for review drawings that show the height of the tallest component of the building. And you kind of gave those side view elevations showing the parapet, but where would the elevator shafts be drawn in on these? Because I don't see them anywhere on.
Correct. So the elevations show those, and I'm sorry those weren't included in your packet, but those elevations were included in the Planning Commission packet, and I'm not sure why they weren't included in this packet.
That was the second part of the presentation. So we reviewed the elevations and discussed the elevator shafts and the chimney flumes as well.
One of the issues was going to be the height of the buildings, clearly for the residents on South Glen Annie. And just wondering, we've got now the building elevations, but I'm really not sure what the pad elevation is going to be. As I did my site visit, based on where I was walking around, it was somewhere from 6 to 10 feet over my head. And I guess it's going to be important just how much that is going to be shaved off, so we know now the size of the building that is going to be on top of that, so we really know impacts of views for the residents of South Glen Annie.
On those cross sections, we show the finished floor elevation of buildings both 19 and 20 on the L3 sheet of your packet.
So how much dirt are you going to need to remove in order to accomplish that?
About 7,500 cubic yards.
But in terms of feet?
So in the highest portion, we would move about 5 feet from the easterly portion, where it mounds up from mm-hmm. Glen Annie. Okay. That's where we remove the most amount of dirt. And then opposite the current entrance on Baldwin Drive to the clubhouse and other right. apartments, that would kind of stay at grade for that vehicular entry there.
Okay.
So it would really, most of the dirt will be being removed from the eastern portion towards Glen Annie Road.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Aaron, any questions?
Just one question. The idea of shade on the rooftop, has that been discussed?
The idea of shade on the rooftop?
Yeah, the need for it.
No, it has not. So we were intending it to be a sun deck. We didn't want to see umbrellas up there. So we discussed it. We didn't come to a conclusion on it. What are your thoughts?
Those are comments.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, just wondering what your discussions about it has been, that's all.
Okay, Aaron?
All right, I want to start with a couple questions for staff. You know, we didn't get any extra material because it's conceptual review, I guess, that was seen two, better part of 2 years ago. But what did the PC say in their deliberations that brought it back here?
Mainly, the reason why it's to the DRB is to ask you whether the rooftop features should qualify as landscape open space and whether it's viable from a design standpoint. And we didn't put extra material in your packet because you're not reviewing the whole project right now, and I think Connor gave you the background, but we wanted you to really zoom in so that we could give the Planning Commission the comments that they asked for.
Yeah, I was thinking with the PC sending it back that there might be just a note about that. Did the PC mention exactly what they were looking to get from us? Was it just the design acceptability of the rooftop as open space?
Mainly, yes. Sort of the overall take on the landscape open space, whether from a design standpoint, landscape standpoint, whether it really does qualify for a viable use for open space.
All right, and then my final question for you, Mary, right now, is back in 15, I'm understanding that it was proposed as commercial.
No, that's not correct.
Okay.
It was approved for commercial, two retail buildings and a three-story live-work building.
Right, the combo.
And then 2015, the 33 units came before DRB for conceptual review. They massaged it, and then we brought it to Planning Commission.
Understood. Thanks. That, I think, predates my tenure by about a week. So then for the applicant here, so change in use from commercial to residential takes it from 5 to 40, and that puts you in arrears, especially when you throw out the double counting of the 1.4 and thus necessitates the need. All right. Then what is the percentage of green space with the rooftop included and without the rooftop included?
I'd have to get those numbers, but I think we have about 10 or 11,000 square feet on these decks. Out of, hold on, let me pull it out for you.
I recall 9,000 something on the rooftop, okay, and then the remainder on the ground floor. So I remember approximately 40% was the rooftop. Is that about right?
That sounds right, but yeah. I can't confirm without doing the math. So the total square footage of owned space is about 25,292 feet, mm-hmm, rooftop and ground floor, with somewhere between 9,000 and 11,000 feet up on the roof. So that would...
About 40%.
Is that about 40%?
Something close to that.
Yep.
One would figure you would arrive at, you know, the requirement, yeah.
Oh, with
40%
all.
Of the 40%.
So. Understood.
Yep.
Right, so the rooftop is 40% of the 40%. That's what's understood.
Correct.
Yeah, there's just lots of numbers flying around, so we want to go...
That's why I wanted to be accurate on what I told you.
Yeah. Some of these questions were answered in whole or in part, so I'm just going to take a moment to see if I'm missing anything that wasn't already stated. So I'll pass it off.
Maybe you guys already addressed this, but I was just wondering, these Live Roof Max systems are basically dirt that will be allocated to a resident, and then they can grow whatever they want on them. Is that what you mean by community garden?
No, actually.
Already and maintained by you guys.
So what these panel, I guess we didn't really explain specifically what this panel does, but so the way that the Live Roof branded panel system works is the panels are, it's basically a plastic tray that's 1 foot by 2 foot, and they are pre-grown and then installed fully grown.
With plants?
With plant material.
Edible plants.
Not edible. So the idea is that they are ornamental plantings.
Okay. The plantings you've given us here.
And using the term community garden is intended to convey the idea of, you know, garden space that's for use for the residents and their guests, not as a, you know, vegetable garden type of idea.
Ah, okay. That was one question. You're not allocating dirt. Oh, and you said you were going to take the stormwater at some point and put it down into the existing stormwater management thing. Are you going to store it on top at all, any, for the garden itself? It all just comes off.
Right now there's no plan for storage on the rooftop.
So the water comes down and it just gets...
It filters through, you know, is treated through the soil.
And then it goes out into...
Onto grade and then into our chamber system, which also provides treatment.
Okay.
And then into the groundwater table.
Into the groundwater. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Dennis?
Thank you. I appreciate staff's admonition to us that we're advising the Planning Commission on this. So to that end, does the existing or the 4.2-acre park, what kind is that restricted access? I mean, are there fence and gates and...
Yes.
It's 0.42 acres.
So it's just under half an acre. 0.42 acres. And that is not a park. It's being called a park. It was never intended as a park.
It's open space.
Correct.
That was the calculation for the project.
Yeah, and just to be clear, it is not public open space. It is common open space for use by residents and guests.
So it's restricted.
It is. We are surrounding it by a fence with a time lock on it. It will be accessible to the public. That was a negotiation in the original approval that this 0.42 acre over here would have public access. So we're providing public access here, but
are concerned for safety and privacy for the residents here. And with the mixed-use nature of the project being in a shopping center, you know, there will be signs posted, public access during daylight hours, and then these fences will lock at night so that we don't have people loitering or, you know, unwanted people standing by the patio of someone's private residence.
So it's limited public access.
Correct.
All right. So if I understand you correctly, for these proposed rooftop gardens, the only access is through the elevators and stairs, right? Do those have the same sort of controlled access?
That is correct.
Okay. And then a question for staff. Is there a height limit on this site?
35 feet.
35
And then towers, chimneys are up to 50 feet.
Yes. More specific, would the elevator cab intrude into that space? Now, I know the equipment override is an exception, but this is essentially, by having a stair access and an elevator access, you're essentially adding another story to it.
Yes.
And those would not be exempt. So does that still comply? The cab has to come up to the roof, right? So that's not an override space. That counts in the height.
I would believe that would be under 35 feet still.
Okay.
Because
correct.
The elevator tower top is 38
that's
feet.
That's all for yeah. staff to sort
the,
that
the
stuff
the foot of the
out.
Cab would come to 23 feet, which is the height of the elevation of the deck. So I really think that at the foot of the cab being at 23, I don't think it would be above 35 feet.
Well, that's for staff to sort out. Let's see. I had a couple of questions for Ms. Miller. You say you have some of these in construction and some in design. Do you have any that are completed? And if so, how long or have they been in place?
Actually, no. We have done studies of other projects that our colleagues have designed and mm-hmm. built. There's one in downtown Santa Barbara that I believe Aaron may have worked on. That we've been monitoring that mm-hmm. uses the same product, but no, we don't have any.
I know, I only ask because I know this is a whole movement across the country, and
right.
in Europe they're quite experienced at doing these gardens,
mm-hmm.
But at this point, you know, there's a high propensity for failure in these things and maintaining the gardens because we are just getting off the ground with it, and I think that's an important consideration to relay to the Planning Commission. And then, Ms. Miller, is there any difference in the planting areas between option one and option two, or are they both the same planting areas roughly?
Are you talking about square footage
yes.
or what's
yes.
in
so
them?
Does one have more plants than the other, or does one have more
yes.
deck area than the other?
Yes, so option one has 57% planting and 43% decking. Option two has 70% planting and 30% decking.
Mm-hmm.
And all the decking areas are accessible. I'll mention that
yes.
also. That did come up.
And then on your plant palette is listed an artificial turf. Did you mention that in your presentation of where those areas were?
No, I think we missed that. And there's just one area here that we were considering. That material. Oh, and here. So that both options have it. But
all right.
We'd love your input on that.
Thank you. Those are my questions.
Chair, can I ask one question I
yes,
did
by
forget?
All means.
Is there a reason, since the public did bring it up, why this didn't, a change like this didn't go back through DRB before heading to PC?
There wasn't really a reason. I think mostly it went to Planning Commission to see if the Planning Commission would support or, you know, the concept. And so it wasn't really a design, a place for design review quite yet, because if the Planning Commission shot it down, then, you know, but that was important enough for them to send it back to you. So typically this project would have come back to you after it goes through the whole process.
Thank you. I'm going to go to comments now, I think, and I'll start with Member Whalen at the end there.
Well, I'm just not convinced that this is a one-for-one open space as is generally regarded by the landscape profession and the design profession. This just seems to have an artifice about it. I think it's kind of, as Aaron spoke out to, it's kind of sunblasted, and I'm not sure about the long-term viability of it as an open space. I suppose that's true of anything on the ground plane, but as some member of the public mentioned, open space generally regards trees and a variety of sun and dappled shade and all of that, and I'm not seeing that here. I think it is very commendable that we do develop our rooftops in this manner and advance these technologies, and I applaud the developers for proposing this. I'm just not convinced that it is a one-for-one open space.
See, things happened while I went to the bathroom. What'd you say, Aaron? What did you say? Okay, I agree with the hot, dry island effect. It's going to be excruciatingly hot up there, especially with all the paving. Obviously, I'm of the option two variety. I think you can develop the design even more within that. But it sounds like I'm maybe on the other side of this equation in thinking that I would like this to become a precedent and that people start doing things like this and start trying and seeing what we can make happen here. Maybe putting in trees makes the difference, because I know there are rooftop trees that are a possibility. I mean, obviously you're not going to do oaks, but there are things that you can do to make it that there's a watering system. There's going to be a water system up there. And you said it was all reclaimed already? Is that the...
The rest of the site is reclaimed. There's a health...
For up here.
Problem to run reclaimed water through buildings. So this would be very low to no water plantings.
Yeah, the plantings will be.
So
but there will be water up there for them because
correct.
They won't survive without
correct.
Anything.
Yeah, there's a full drip irrigation system that would be, I'm sorry, not drip, implemented with the green roof panels. So
inside, just underneath the soil.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And lighting. Was there a lighting plan for this? No, because you're going to close it at dark. That makes sense. Okay.
There may be some like little walkway lighting for safety reasons. You know, at dusk,
yeah, just those little,
but no,
like solar ones or
no
whatever.
Bistro lighting or anything like that.
Okay. So I like it. I like option two, that there's less paving. I like the mounding, and again, if we even saw some trees and some shrubs, maybe, I know they have shrub boxes too within there, just to add, maybe we can claim it's a little bit more open space if we're having trees and shrubs along with the low mounding. The kid-friendly versus the desert plantings, I think maybe changing location of the desert plants to being near the railings, and also the butterfly habitat maybe pushed out to the edge, but then as you add bigger things, but basically creating like a green almost barrier for children so that they don't want to climb up those edges too much, then maybe that we could address the public's comment about it being more children friendly and it is accessible to the public, so at least during the day. So I think that's cool, and I think it's a good... Go ahead.
Sorry, just a little correction. The ground floor, 0.42 acres on the ground of the building, will be accessible to the public during daylight hours. The rooftop decks will be private residents and guests only.
Oh,
no
okay.
public access.
And, yep. and just the common open space is intended for the residents.
For the residents.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. And their guests. That's fine. I don't have a problem with any of those things. So the no shade was kind of an issue, and like I said, that's why I like the option number two, because you're reducing your paving area, you know, probably fairly significantly. And I like that it's accessible for wheelchair people. You might want to look at your kitchens and bathrooms, because the accessibility numbers, well, by code they are accessible. If you've ever tried to bring a wheelchair into any of those bathrooms, you realize they're really horrible. And the kitchens, too, I noticed on the next drawing set, they're like 20 inches wide.
And they're like, it's accessible for wheelchair. And I'm like, as long as you don't have no arms, that's fine. Or have to reach something up high or any of those things. So, if you put everything down low, obviously just to look at that, that's not part of our peer review. And I don't mind the towers. I think they look kind of cool. I think it changes it from being a box into being something with a little more dimensionality, but that's probably not going to be agreed with by everybody on the board, so I will leave it at that.
Okay, Aaron?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So first off, I do want to say that using reclaimed water wherever it's allowed is always appreciated, despite a couple of months of rain that's approaching adequate. It stems the tide, perhaps, but does not solve our water problem. So making reuse of the water we've got is always welcome. I gotta agree with Member Whalen that I just don't see it as a one-to-one replacement. However, briefly, I did live and study in Germany, and they make fantastic uses of these things. The homes that they're living in that aren't 500 years old might have some of these things. And I spent most of my time living in a newer building when I was there. But my impression, and I don't have stats, you know, I was 17, I don't have stats to back it up, but my impression was it was rooftop space was in addition to the open space, not in lieu of. And that is exactly how I feel about this, just as a gut reaction. And then when Member Whalen mentioned Europe's propensity, that thought came to my mind. And it seems we've got a pretty clear set of comments from those residents of Goleta that have made comment. It's 3-0. So I think that informs us as to the public's thoughts on this. Obviously, it's not going to be 100%, but it's probably in the majority. I don't find it in general to be compatible with the neighborhood and the size, bulk, and scale requirements, just in general. With the rooftop included, the density, it just doesn't feel right for that area. And I would not, just for the PC to know, I myself don't find it as a one-to-one. If it was, as I do my math, 16% of the space comes to rooftop and 24 to regular, quote-unquote, regular open space. And 16 seems like an awful lot. If you were at 39 and had 2%, I don't know, not that 2% is a practical amount of space, I realize, but the point is 16% is quite a large first step for this community, I think. And I want to see more rooftop stuff happen, but it's in addition to, not instead of. This is one use that is acceptable instead of having solar panels. One of those two looks is the modern way forward, I think. So I just want to,
Just as a comment about the photovoltaic cells, with covering all the carports here, we have photovoltaics on the other carports up, some of the other carports up in the other project. So all of these will be photovoltaic ready on the carports. So that's where we're kind of getting that in the project.
Fantastic. That's great. It's, with the parking stuff, having that space, it's already just there to provide shelter for the residents' vehicles. To turn that into PV is great, but then my thought goes, well, where are the charging stations? Because we are not going to be driving gas for very long. And just to finish the thought, if it's not green space on the roof, it's PV up there too. So
we have 4 charging stations at that project already, so we could add more if you like.
Okay, Aaron?
Yeah, I'll start off by just saying that the responses you did in the very beginning of the presentation about the parking changes and all that, I think that the site planning is much better now.
I am going to kind of disagree with my colleagues on the open space issue. I think the roof gardens are definitely open space, and making the argument that they're not just because they're on a roof, I completely disagree with. So I'll just say that. It's definitely not public open space, but it's definitely open space for the residents. Some of the detailed comments I guess I'd make is option one seems to there's larger paving areas, whereas option two kind of creates more intimate areas. I think this is probably better as far as creating smaller rooms throughout the site, throughout the roofs. I like how at building 20 you can walk around on the boardwalk. That feels nice to me, where you don't have that on these. So I think a combination of the two options is kind of where you want to be. The option one plant palette seems to be more durable and probably will be more successful in the long term, but I would also encourage something like a hummingbird butterfly garden as well up there. Maybe some more areas that can be used like the artificial turf, though it doesn't necessarily have to be artificial turf, but more usable planted areas would be beneficial. So I'm generally in support of these roof gardens, and I think, you know, the United States is kind of behind the ball on this technology, and you see it done all over the world successfully. So it'd be fun to see this implemented here in town.
Thank you. Bill?
Thank you, Chair. I just want to echo several of the positive things that were mentioned first. The entire project, this is concept review, and I know we're trying to focus on this, but it needs to be seen a little bit more in its entirety. I appreciate the use of the recycled water in the project. I think the landscaping really looks great and has really come out well. And I imagine that this well as well. And I also appreciate the inclusion of photovoltaics on the covered carports. I think this is the first rental project that I'm aware of that has taken that step forward to be including photovoltaics on carports, which is a really, really effective use of that space. And hopefully you can do more of that in the future. So thank you for stepping out in that direction. That being said, unfortunately, I guess I'm kind of distressed that there was this error in the calculation of the open space, because I think it's really thrown us off. And the project that the DRB helped to design the last time around and your responses to it were great. It's too bad that there simply isn't enough additional open space associated with that. And so that because of this error in the calculation, not allowing the rooftop deck to count as open space basically equates to no current project. So that's an unfortunate outcome. However, if the Planning Commission is listening and if this is included in the minutes, I personally am very concerned about the precedence of allowing rooftops to count as common open space if they wanted to be used. In addition to, I think that's a beautiful idea. Clearly, green roofs are something that we would like to see in the future. So for me, I wouldn't be able to make a finding, even though this is concept review, if this were brought to us later on as this of neighborhood compatibility, because I think it kind of shortchanges the rest of the residents in the community to be expected, if they want to use that kind of open space as others can use their open space, to be expected to climb stairs or to take an elevator. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. I have my own comments to this. Philosophically, I agree. I actually agree with Aaron that having a rooftop space and being able to use it as part of the open space, I think makes sense in general. This I'm not so sure about here, because again, like everyone else has, or several of the other members have noted, without any shade, this is going to be it's going to get fairly hot in the summer, or in the late summer, early, you know, the warm season here. And other
times, like, you know, during fog or whatever, you know. It's just that I don't feel that it's a one-to-one swap for open space myself either, mainly because as an apartment dweller, the open space that I see is open to the tenants 24/7. It's the open space. It's part of the project. And it's whether I walk through it or not, it's there and it's accessible. And I don't have to go out of my way to see it or get to it or experience it. This, I have to go up onto the roof to experience it. And it's only during the daytime. If I understand correctly, this is being closed off at night. So it's only during the day and it's not at night. And there's a number of restrictions on it, and it's only restricted to this quiet contemplation, having a little tete-a-tete meeting with somebody. It just doesn't feel like it works as open space for me, not fully, not on a one-to-one basis. I understand the utility of doing it. I am hesitant to let this become a precedent with other projects in Goleta here. If we were Hong Kong, where property is more valuable than gold, you know, utilizing rooftop makes really good sense. It's like the natural thing to do. I mean, I'm using an extreme example. But this is Goleta. There's more elbow room around here, and it's like Bill said, it's regrettable that this has kind of came out the way it has and then gone to the Planning Commission and come back to where if they don't have the roof space, there's no residential project, and it's really regrettable. But something has to be, if this roof deck is going to count as part of the open space, it needs to behave more like open space and not be so hard. Its usage is really narrowed down just by nature of the planting, the amenities, and the times that it can be utilized. So those are my comments. And I see that this is, yes.
Can I make a comment?
Yes, please. Yeah, we're still, yes. Well.
I am going to attempt to bring some of you over to the other side here. Let's see if we can do this. Okay, because I think we're all pretty much saying that we would like to see more rooftop gardens. Okay, if we say that they can't work as open space, even though, I mean, clearly the landscape park people here are thinking that we think that it is open space, whether it's on the rooftop or not. So maybe we can come to some kind of mediated agreement in terms of changing perhaps the 24-hour. Maybe we can have nighttime viewing of the stars and maybe really, really low lighting. And if we change the kid-friendly aspect of pulling it a little bit away so we have a perimeter but it's not right on the edge, then nighttime falling off becomes less of a risk. Not that that was probably a risk to begin with. The second thing we could do is, like we said, adding the trees and shrubs. They said that they would be interested in maybe putting a few up there, so that would provide a little bit more shade. That would make it more of an open space looking kind of place to the normal eye. And then, so in order to start this precedent to encourage rooftop gardens in Goleta, having it be a one-to-one ratio is a big incentive for people. I'm not saying that I want it to take away from what's on the ground. Obviously, it would be ideal if they would have both, but in this case, that didn't happen, and now we are where we are. Maybe we could link it with some of the other things that they've been doing, saying we'll agree with it in this term. That cuts back on the precedence of substituting, but saying we're allowing it in this term because, first of all, they put the photovoltaics on all of the parking. Second of all, they're using reclaimed on all the ground where they can. So maybe somehow we can link it, and so we're not setting a precedent that anyone can just go and do this instead of, but But perhaps, you know, if they're willing and have shown that they're doing all of the other things that we're looking for, that maybe people, a couple of you might be able to come over onto the side of, it is open space, and it's, and you know, if as long as it looks more like open space, if they'd be willing to make those changes.
Mr. Chair, so following up on Ms. Clinton's comments, Planning Commission will make that decision, and it's actually a recommendation to the City Council on whether this counts for open space or not. What they're looking from you is to the viability from a design standpoint, whether DRB feels that the rooftop works as open space, not one for one, or you know, whether it counts for the 40%, but does that work as, in your opinion, from a design standpoint, landscaping, whether it works for open space?
Thank you. And to Karis's observations, she's won me over. I mean, I my only concern, and I'm just speaking just as one member of the board, my only concern was that it function more usably. And I could certainly, I could see it working as open space in that context. You know, as she mentioned, like nighttime star viewing. I think that, you know, there are some folks that have telescopes and like astronomy. It's just another, it makes the open space, without sounding redundant, more open. So, anyway.
Yeah, we want to make design tweaks and play with this, and so does the applicant. But I think we can all agree that it's going to be open space at the end of the, at least I can.
Now, does this need an actual formal motion?
No, it does not. We're just gathering your comments and bringing it to
Planning
Commission.
I think Harris summed it up pretty well, I think.
Do you want me to try making a motion?
No, there's no motion. Yeah. We're just receiving your comments.
Yeah. Okay.
So can I ask the board if there's consensus on whether the rooftop features the design, whether the board, you know, generally feels that it qualifies for landscaping and open space. So I think that's whether we need a straw vote or...
I think I'd like to ask for a straw vote. I don't want to speak for everybody all at once. I think I know what the answer is, but based on what Mary was just saying, Bill, what do you...
Chair?
Yes.
Can I provide a counterpoint?
Yes,
just briefly.
Go ahead.
That, you know, I'm trying to think through this where I said using this, and maybe it's not one-to-one, so maybe it's 50-50. You know, if you're if the applicant's counting 10% of the open space on rooftops, we want to see 20% on the rooftop. There, I don't know what the ratio is. I don't know what the cap is. It is 10% limit or 5% limit or 15, what have you. But my fear is the law of unintended consequences, that if we let this square footage be double counted in that, well, not double counted for open space, but it's being counted as habitable space, obviously, and then on the roof is square footage counting as open space, that this is going to, however, you know, unintended, set a precedent that it's going to allow more and more shoehorning of units in that don't have a corresponding amount of traditional open space.
Yeah, and may I offer a comment relative to that? Troy White with DUDEC, the planner. I want to point out that ultimately in the DR20 design zone district, there's a requirement and a maximum for building space coverage of 30%. So in terms of shoehorning, we're not trying to shoehorn any additional buildings onto the site. We in fact are below that 30% building coverage. So it's not like a Tokyo-type scenario where there's building upon building.
Okay, so where's
building.
The discrepancy? Is it in the parking? Where's the other percentages? So if it's 30% of the building, it's not 40% in open space. That's what necessitates the roof. So
you're finding it in sidewalks don't count as open space.
Sure.
Parking lots, carports don't count as open space. Patio, private patios don't count as open space. So all those amenity, any you know, hardscape amenity on that ground surface don't count as open space, and so that's where. But ultimately, in terms of what you experience, you know, we believe that it's that 30% building coverage requirement that controls for size, bulk, and scale, and you have a height limitation relative to 35 feet, and then the open space, you know, it's
wherever, whether it's on the ground level or on the second or third story, that's an amenity to be enjoyed, you know, by the residents.
Yeah, and maybe it's a bit of a minute detail, but I didn't say that this one was shoehorning. I said the law of unintended consequences is in the future it leaves, you know, I'm a business guy, you know, you're doing this project for dollars and cents.
It's got to make sense, of course. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to meet a bottom line. It's got to turn a profit and also check some boxes on providing housing and other things. But, you know, it's not a nonprofit, obviously. So whether I believe you're the suspect case is not what I'm saying. It's in the future setting a precedent that it just counts one for one, that suddenly the next project shows up 40% of the open spaces on the roof. I mean, you know, that's an extreme, but from 1% to 40%, we don't have a guideline. We don't have anything. So that's where my very strong comment to the PC is.
Okay. Mr. Chair, if I could just try to focus back on the design. I think I understand the percentage that we're getting sort of looking at that, and that's the significant part, but what the Planning Commission wants from DRB is, again, looking at, and I think what you said, Chair Smith, about whether does it feel like open space if it's closed at night, and that's sort of what they're looking for, because I don't think that's not going to get resolved, the percentage. And
right.
It's about the use of the rooftop, whether from a design standpoint, and I think, you know, Ms. Clinton said more trees, shrubs, and maybe, you know, the heat element and all those type of things. I mean, that's what they're looking for, because they have to make that decision with all the other components of the project.
Well, it's a bit telling to me that whether it's people from the applicant's team or board members or staff, that we keep saying it's like open space, but there's something I think to be noted there.
Well, okay.
That we're not saying that it is. It's not. Okay. There's just something that's coming up short of making it true open space.
Okay.
In my mind.
That's fine. I just want to read what the Planning Commission specifically asked for. It's details regarding the rooftop design, if it is viable open space and appropriate for the project, including the landscape design, percentage of greenscape and permeable material. That's what they want from a design standpoint. So they can make a decision. Oh, you know, if how that's evaluated and the input that you're giving them to make a decision on whether they think it qualifies for open space.
I watched the Planning Commission meeting live and the hearings a couple times, actually, and I guess I think that the staff is defining this a little bit too narrowly on exactly what they're looking from the Design Review Board. And I apologize if I'm incorrect in that, but the appropriateness is I think, I mean, you could put a miniature golf course on top of this and you could say that is open space. So pretty much anything on top is open space. The idea is it appropriate for the project, and the project is more than just the roof. The project is the entire project, the cumulative project, including the abundance or the lack or the correct amount of open space that's being provided by this triangle piece.
My question tears somewhat off of Bill's. Could staff provide us a definition of open space?
Shoot, I don't have the zoning ordinance. Oh,
sorry,
I have it in. Here we go. Yes, sorry. Common open spaces, and this is the 40% that's required. Common open space shall include but not be limited to recreation areas and facilities for the use of prospective residents or guests of a development, such as tennis courts, swimming pools, playgrounds, community gardens, landscape areas for common use, or other open areas of the site needed for the protection of the habitat, archaeological, scenic, or other resources. Water bodies may be included but shall not be credited for more than 5% of the total required common open space. Common open space shall not include driveways, public or private streets, parking lots, private patios and yards, and other developed or hard surface walkways. You want me to read that?
Is that different? Yeah.
This is a zoning code.
Right. Yes.
common open space, areas for outdoor living and recreation that are intended for the use of residents and guests of more than one dwelling unit. Common areas typically consist of landscape areas, walks, patios, swimming pools, playgrounds, turf, or other such improvements as are appropriate to enhance the outdoor environment of the development.
Mr. Chair, do you mind if I just make one comment?
Okay.
Being a board member myself for the city of Santa Barbara, I can see how this is a tough one for this board. It's difficult to because you're not providing your typical role in making comments and findings. But I would suggest again that you look at the function and the aesthetic of the design rather than the larger issue of making a finding as to whether this is open space. It might feel like that's tying your hands a little bit, but I think that really is what staff is looking to Planning Commission to do. So,
and Mr. Chair, I didn't mean to, you know, disrespect the board in saying that's we're not getting what we want. We just want to be clear to bring to the Planning Commission for their consideration from a design board.
Well, see, that's what I think caused some confusion here, because there's a dichotomy between are we supposed to say, give our opinion on whether this functions as open space as per the definition in the zoning ordinance and the general plan, as opposed to does this function as open space from the standpoint of the tenants living there, living, working, and using, you know, the space. And I think there's a, and that's why we were kind of, I think that's where there's a bit of confusion there as well.
Right.
Because I hear members of this board looking at it as a definition of a use and saying, no, this doesn't work, and as opposed to how this functions. And there's I hear from a lot of the board members that it just as a practical purpose it functions, but only partially. So I'm not sure where I'm not sure what we want are supposed to be, even with all this, what we're supposed to be providing for the board, for the Planning Commission to consume and to work with.
Well, one of the things that the Planning Commission, one of the, actually the chair of the Planning Commission really wanted to get feedback on, you know, whether what the features are on the rooftop, are they, can they qualify as open space and landscaping? You know, they were looking at, I don't think you had enough information for the Planning Commission at that time, so they wanted to give that, you know, give detailed design for the.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious it qualifies as landscaping because it's landscaped.
At the time of the Planning Commission, they didn't have the details that level, so they were wondering, well, is it going to be all pavers or, you know? So yeah. I think that's why they wanted to have the applicant provide more details and bring it to the design review board.
Okay.
Can I make one more comment?
Yes, please.
It sounds like there are two questions that they actually set forth to us. One is it actually qualify as open space? And B, is it appropriate for this particular project? Is that what they're asking us to comment on, or just the first one?
Appropriate for the project in what sense?
Oh, I thought you read that on there when you read what the...
Oh, the definition, whether it fits in the definition.
What
and
the
you
PC
can certainly use the
do.
Definition as your, you know, your...
Is it
the basis
is it
of
viable open space and appropriate for the project? So it's, to me, it sounds like that's sort of two questions. One, is it viable open space? And two, is it appropriate for this project? Because it seems like the contention is that, well, maybe it's not appropriate for this project, and maybe we'd like to see them in other projects. I'm not sure, maybe I'm sort of qualifying what you're saying, but then the regarding, is it viable open space? I think we pretty much all agree it is, so.
Yeah.
It's the second question that seems in contention. Is that wrong? Am I correct in that assumption? Sorry.
I would agree.
Yeah, and I took this from the minutes, actually. So I think Mr. Shaler is right that there's more to it, and I'm just trying to figure out what can we bring to the Planning Commission that they can, you know, have that design part of the review for consideration.
So what if we did, like, a, I don't know what a straw vote is, but can we do some sort of just non-binding vote?
Yeah.
Non-binding vote, that just to say, like, what does everyone think about, does this, is it viable open space? And like I said, with perhaps the contingencies that there are shrubs and trees added to it, and then... And just see what if
okay, I agree. Let's put this to a straw vote then, based on Member Karras was just saying, can this qualify as viable open space with the understanding that they may, you know, massage the features up there to include maybe include shade, something a little more kid friendly. We've already beaten this one to death, but. That would be the vote I'd like to put to the board. So,
and then maybe we can have a second vote also about then is it appropriate for this site so that the other contentions have a place to be spoken. I don't know if that's
legal. I would just like to go with the one vote.
I think we just need to do a vote and move on.
Yeah. So, Member Whalen.
Yes.
Okay. And Karras?
Yes.
Aaron?
Nay.
Yes.
And I would say yes. And Member Shelor?
No.
One, two, three, four, five, six. So we have four yays and two nays.
Okay. We got it. And thank you very much. I know this is sort of a different review, and we appreciate your consideration. We'll bring that to the Planning Commission.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. If there's any further questions, you can feel free to contact me at any time. Right. Appreciate it.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'm going to be stepping down on the next item.
Okay.
I worked on the preliminary design of this project back when I was employed by Arcadia Studio.
Okay. All right. Linda, could you please announce the next project?
Item G1 is design review. It's the Cortona Apartments project located at 6830 Cortona Drive, case number 08-09-140-DRB.
Thank you. I might have jumped the gun here. We got to get the planner up here. Hi. Just press the button. There we go. You're on, Jan.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you. The DRB reviewed this project on December 13th, 2016, and continued it. The noise study has been prepared, and changes have been incorporated into the design. Contrary to the staff memo, from the patio and deck standard rail height down, that will be made of masonry, not glass. The lighting plans have been revised to reflect an average of 1 foot candle. There are no additional changes to the landscape plans, and none were required by the DRB. The architectural changes to meet the noise study requirements, we think, result in a more residential look that you need to look at. And then the other thing that the applicants will want to talk about briefly is a condition that calls for lit addressing.
Mm-hmm.
But it is subject to DRB review, and the applicant would like to discuss that further.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you. Okay. Just one quick question. You were talking about there was an architectural change about something involving masonry. I didn't quite catch
the staff memo says that the full height of the patio walls and the deck walls is glass, the lower part being tinted or etched, so mm-hmm. for privacy, but at the lower part instead is actually masonry.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
One moment. Bill?
Thank you, Chair. Site visit, no ex parte.
That's right. No site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Previous site visit, and today I just drove by, no ex parte.
Previous site visit, no ex parte.
And I had a previous site visit, but not in this, for this particular one.
Great, thank you. Thanks for having us this afternoon. My name is Craig Minus, agent for Cortona Corner LP. And, you know, we'll largely use the staff report as our discussion tonight. And in the background is a summary of the minutes, which was really our homework to do prior to coming today. And so item number 1 through 4, again, 1 is related to the noise study and the mitigations that we've introduced into the project due to the noise study, and we'll expand on that. Item 2, again, was, like Jan had referenced, the lighting. And that's largely been resolved with staff and the articulation of the average 1-foot candle, which is described on page 2. Item 3, again, was landscape and irrigation, and from the meeting minutes, we understood that that was satisfactory to the DRB. And then the last item is architecture. So of the 4 items, you know, we're here to present 2 of those particularly, as we feel the other ones have been resolved. And then we'd like to, as Jan mentioned, talk about this lit addressing in the directory. So with that is Elsa Reeder.
Okay, well, first of all, just to back up again, and I apologize for not catching all this, because I see 4 items here. What are the 2 that you feel that we can just not deal with because they've already been dealt with?
Item number 2 is a continuance will allow time for staff to review the applicants regarding the lighting plan to meet the conditions of approval.
Has there been a change to the lighting plan?
No. If you recall, there was a photometrics plan provided. The condition reads, and Jan, you can help me out here, but it references a minimum of 1-foot candle lighting in most areas. Our discussion on December 13th, where we had our electrical engineer, questioned that language of the condition, and what he was very concerned that a minimum 1-foot candle would make this too lit, almost you know, comparable to something
of a
shopping center.
All right.
So we spent time with staff and kind of analyzed that. Jan, help me out here, but
staff actually ended up issuing a substantial conformance determination for the lighting plan, concluding that the intent of the condition was that it, instead of saying minimum, was that it say average. And even at that, it exceeds the DRB guideline.
Okay, so then this so this item is not really an item then?
Correct. It's been resolved.
Good.
Is that a technicality that might affect other projects, or was that just germane just to this one project?
It was germane to this particular project. For whatever reason, this particular condition was put on this project, and it is not on other projects.
And what was the second item?
Yeah, and the second one we've largely feel is resolved and aren't planning on presenting anything is number 3. And the that reads, applicant has addressed the changes to landscape and irrigation plans as necessary to meet the mitigation measures, conditions of approval.
Okay. Yeah. Very good.
So I was just trying to narrow that down for you.
All right. Well, I wanted to just make sure.
Okay.
You know, with all the projects that come across here per meeting, sometimes it can, you know, it's nice to get a little bit, even if it is repeating.
Good.
Sometimes it's good to get a little more clarification. Thank you.
So with that, you know, we will address item number 1.
Okay.
We'll address item number 4, and then we want to talk about the directory.
Please proceed.
With that, I'll turn it over to Elsa Reeder with CSA Architects.
So the noise study brought back a large number of units that would require mitigation for the balconies and patios, which drove a change in material for the patio wall and the deck railing.
And what sheet is this?
This is, I'm just using sheet 0.3A right now.
Okay.
Just any of the unit plans will show the patio wall and the deck rail condition. And so what I'm looking at is that over the course of the project, it would have affected more than half of the units, and so that drove a material change from a metal mesh railing to a standard glass rail throughout. And so you can see that in elevations if you go to sheet 2.5. You can see a building that has no noise mitigation and just shows the standard condition with the glass rail at upper decks and a patio, stucco patio wall at the ground floor.
Right.
And then if you look at 3.5, you can see a building that shows the glass rail with noise mitigation measures above. And so the concept there would be that the standard rail condition is a tinted laminated glass, like this sample, that would obscure anything behind it and protect privacy on the decks. And then the noise mitigation measures would go up the required amount, which is a foot or 16 inches, depending on what level it's on, and that would be clear glass for the mitigation part of that. So the elevations show where and which decks those are required on, and then the clear glass application would also happen at the patio stucco walls, where it would extend up to 5'6" from the 4'6" stucco wall.
Okay.
So it does get a little bit confusing to look at where it applies and where it doesn't. So if you would benefit from seeing a site plan of how that lands, I have one to show.
If you do, that would be good. If you kind of get it all, all at one shot rather than have to go building by building.
Right. So I have two sheets here. I have one that shows the ground floor conditions that are shown here in this purple color. And so the noise source being the 101 and the railroad, there are a lot of patio wings where it's only required to extend as far as the furthest point out on the patio wall. So there would be only glass on this small section of wall there. But on this one, because the patio wall extends so far out, it made better sense to wrap the entire patio with that glass sound barrier. And then on, obviously, these face all directions towards noise, and they're and those will be fully wrapped with the glass at the ground level. And then there's those are the only two conditions for the ground level, the one that on the short leg of the patio extending out, or the entire patio wrapped in glass.
Okay, now I do have one question here. I understand just doing the one leg of this with the noise coming from here, but what happens to noise echoing back from the other face of the other building?
So the mitigation measures are what has been specified in the noise analysis, and so DUDEC has prepared a very extensive report that explains exactly what needs to happen on each of these units.
Okay.
And so we've mitigated where required to bring the noise level below
I guess what I'm asking is, did DUDEC figure this out looking at each unit individually as standing alone, or did they look at it as a whole with noise reflection from the other building? That's just a one.
They looked at it as a whole, and they looked at, I mean, there are conditions where one unit will shield another unit, and noise transfer, they've accounted for all of that and provided contours.
Again, being an apartment dweller, I was amazed at the amount of noise reflection coming from the shopping center across the street, even though it's like a good 300 feet away from where we live. Okay, so you explained the first floor.
Right, and so then the upper floors, second and third floor conditions. The balconies are a different shape than the ground floor patios, so that drives what happens here, and there are three conditions. One that covers both legs, or the leg facing the sound, whatever that may be. So if it's the shorter leg, the requirement is that it comes out to the farthest point on the patio. So whether it be that leg or that leg, it whichever one faces the noise is what we have to mitigate for.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes, I guess, that's takes care of the, okay, so, and the sound level now is all, with these mitigation measures, the sound level is down now to an acceptable level?
Yes.
Okay. And then the last thing you were talking about, lighting addresses.
Yes, so there is a condition of approval that asks us to light the addressing mm-hmm. on the buildings. And we asked the planning staff what that was coming from, and they weren't exactly sure. We asked the fire department if they were forcing the request, and no, that wasn't part of it. So what we've discussed with staff would be that instead of providing a lit address on every building, if we would provide illuminated site directories in several locations.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that would have come from either. Does I've not heard that about. Are you sure that might not have been a typo?
It's in the conditions.
It's clearly in the conditions of approval.
Okay. From us.
It came out of Planning Commission.
Oh. Because I've never heard that about any other apartment building.
Yeah, it's not on any of the recently approved projects.
Although I have seen, you know, we have seen directories.
Yes. Yeah. A lit directory, staff thought, would meet the intent of that requirement. They will still have the large letter addresses on the buildings.
Yes.
They just don't need to be lit.
So did you have anything for the directory that we needed to see, or how did you want to do that?
Yeah, I mean, we'll tag team this, but we have some conceptual ideas of where the directories will be. The directories will be part of a sign package, and the design will come back. We wanted to have this discussion tonight because, again, we had the condition in front of us, and we think there was a viable alternative to that, in that being in the directory. And so if we get your blessing along those thoughts, then we can go and develop our sign package, which will include the directories.
Okay, thank you. I'd kind of like to do this just as we go by each member, just combination questions and or comments.
So you're looking at me. And
you're just so scholarly.
I don't have any questions, but as to point number four on the architecture, I guess this is a question after all. Could you talk a bit, Craig, about the more details to make the buildings look homier? What changes were made?
Yeah, absolutely, and I think the best person would be Elsa to address that.
Thank you. So one of the things that we've incorporated in this revision was the glass rail, which is a more residential solution than the metal mesh railing that we had previously. So we've used that as part of our response to that item. And what you can't see in this black and white elevation is the large color blocks that happen on these vertical rectangular forms that help to give building individuality and add to the character, the residential feel of these buildings. But we are very happy with the way our project fits into the surrounding R&D development. We've really tried hard to make the project fit in with its neighborhood, and by giving some gable forms and some standing seam metal roofing, we feel that speaks to the residential character, but we do need to keep it contemporary and modern in feel to fit in with its neighbors. Mm-hmm. So.
Thank you. I appreciate those comments. My one towards developing more homier architecture, I would suggest some more variation in the windows. I wish I knew page 5 on the lower elevation. You can see there are 6 identical windows that are ganged together here. If the buildings had more of a base, here's a quicker way to say it, an easier way. If it had a base to it rather than just a floor plan that's elevated identically, that if some of the window sizes were varied in their location and size to emphasize more of an individual facade that was carefully worked out rather than just a repetition of a floor plan. I think you'd be a lot closer to meeting our guideline of what was homier. And to that end, to reiterate it, a base it may be inspired by that patio wall that reads all the way across the base. And then, as I say, some window variations. I think you're on the right track with the peaks, the little added roofs, and it is a terribly difficult assignment. We're in completely new territory here when we're adding these residential developments it's into industrial areas. We can't expect standard solutions to apply, and we're in totally new territory.
Okay. And just to point out, we have incorporated some of those things that you've talked about where there is a color break here and a different window on this than what is above. And that happens multiple places around the building where we have tried to incorporate some of what you're talking about. I would agree that it could potentially happen more, but
very
I just
good.
Want to say that we have done
very
some
good.
Of that.
And for those six that are gang there, if I'm not mistaken, those are not the ones I was thinking of. There's an assembly of closet and bathroom windows that I think you could vary their locations and sizes to enrich the facades.
Okay.
And then in general, well, this goes way beyond the four points that we brought up. The repetition of the building forms on the site really does nothing for the leftover spaces. I think these residual spaces are the most important part of the project, and yet there's some landscaping used to develop them or really just to mitigate those areas. And as we get into this area, into this new territory of putting residential areas in industrial, the importance should really be on those leftover, quote unquote, spaces, because that's where you're really going to get a sense of place. And this, to go back on my point, this seemingly arbitrary placement of the floor plans around the sites, I think works against it. But I'm not asking for a redesign at this point. This is more for a general comment for our future, because it does appear that the city is going to be doing more and more projects in this.
I would like to agree with Member Whalen's first comments about the architecture and the changes. You guys seem to work that out. So I'm just going to put a ditto on that one. And to also bring up, of course, the accessibility requirements that you have here in your details are quite, quite small. And there's no way a wheelchair is going to be able to get into a 20-inch kitchen. So you've got to somehow, if you have accessible units, they probably need to be realistically accessible. That would be my comment. But I think those were all the things that I noticed. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment.
Yeah, so last time we talked, we covered why gray water isn't a solution, but what's been done with the reclaimed?
Nothing further.
So just not going to do it.
Yeah, I think we identified last time that the reclaim line is not extended to this property, so it's not a solution at this point.
Yeah, so 300 yards is too far.
I'm not one to say if it's too far or not. What I'm saying is that it's not accessible to the project at this time.
All right, what about PV and EV?
We have the required EV stations incorporated into the project, and photovoltaics wasn't something that was required of us. We have looked at whether or not it would pencil to do that for a project of this type, and the Tobes Group has evaluated that and determined that it just doesn't pencil on this apartment project.
All right, and you said you've got the EV, so can you just clarify how many?
10. 10 EV ready, 2 installed.
To be installed, right? Ready to be installed. Mm. Or 10 installed.
EV charger stations that we're talking about?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Title 24 dictates what our requirements are, of which...
The minimum requirements, yeah.
Minimum requirements, and that distinguishes between EV ready, which is conduit in the ground ready to install, and then actual EV chargers. I don't know if Title 24 dictates you have to have a charger in place, but of this, of a property of this type, we would anticipate putting in two hoses, so one unit that services two, that has two hoses, and that's of this type of projects what we've done in the past.
So one for two is what we'll see. One for two hoses is what you're
one
saying.
One station with
yeah.
two hoses.
Yeah, yeah, with two, servicing two spots.
Correct.
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 Thank you, Chair. This may be, and it is, going a bit off to the side here, and I appreciate Board Member Sweeney's comments about that. I am just about the lack of interest on PV on the covered carports. Just note that we just saw a project that said it penciled out for them, and that was Hollister Village, a similar rental project. So maybe that's something that can be reevaluated in the future when you bring projects forward. The one thing that I just wanted to mention was, I guess, it's due to my lack of ability and imagination because of what's provided for us are two-dimension black and white. So I really, unlike the pictures of the clubhouse and the entrance, which are very easy to understand because they're color and three-dimensional, I really get a feeling for the flavor of the project. What I'm seeing here, and with the changes, what is stucco, what is glass, what is the color blocking, what is the articulation, the setbacks? I really don't get a feeling for this. To me, it kind of just looks like stamped out industrial look. And I don't know if we get another chance to look at this to really see what it's going to look like, or this is our last bite at this apple.
Thank you.
So what I can say regarding that is I do have the previous version of colored elevations that I would be willing to show you, but they show the metal mesh rails, and this is from a different round. Well, so
that is important to me. And we've also got units now that have certain finishings because of where they're located sound-wise, and other ones that don't have to. So you've got these kind of various looks strewn across certain buildings, and I'm not really sure comprehensively how that's going to look.
Yeah. And I've got to echo both Dennis and with Bill. I mean, you've done a good job. You came through here. We had these four items, and you addressed them, except really for number four, which is regarding the architecture. Suggestion was made to consider adding more details to make the buildings look homier. And you're not really helping your case when the drawing that we see in front of us is black and white with no real differentiation. Something in color would have been at least nice. I fully agree with Member Whalen. This is an unusual. It's a more common sight these days, but it is kind of a tough spot because you're in the middle of an R&D and industrial area, and so you have to respect that architecture as well. You can't make these look like a group of little cozy cottages because they're just not.
Right.
But on the other side of the coin, getting away from the repetition and stamped outness of the whole thing, I think is pretty important. And the idea of having it resting on a base or a parent base, I think is an excellent one. And the one that I would echo, but we would need to see it. And I reluctant to see this move on myself if we said design review approval, because we have no way of knowing what's going to happen to this project, at least on that first floor, or moving some of the window groupings around, down below. Personally, I would just be happy to see the base idea pursued.
We do have some bases where there is in the elevation a break where the lower form is a different color than the form above, and like I mentioned earlier, there is some color breaks that happen that are proposed happen.
But it doesn't help your case when it's sitting here in black and white and we can't see it.
Comment.
I mean, I wished I had a memory good enough to remember the way the colored renderings look. Unfortunately, I do not.
Okay.
So, pardon me?
Are we finished?
Oh, no, not at all. I was just...
Oh,
letting everybody else comment, and I was just chiming in at the end, but we're not closing the comment period. Yeah, you can go ahead, please.
Oh, now?
Yes, please.
Maybe it's a question for staff, Mary. Can we require photovoltaics? Can we, as a board, say that, you know, our condition is dependent on them not being photovoltaic ready, but actually putting photovoltaics on their carports?
No, that's not in DRB's purview.
That's not.
Right, they've appeared before us on this project on a number of times, and the last time we met, we had boiled it down to these four points that we're addressing here right now. I can't really push them back into something, you know, pick up the ball and go back 10 yards, so to speak.
Okay.
But I'm sorry.
That was my question.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
May I offer a thought? Getting through your design review is an important component to our timeline and is instrumental in us anticipating a construction schedule and even a plan check process. So if, you know, you're not satisfied with the materials in front of you, you know, I think we've done a good job at addressing this. Yeah. However, if you are not, you know, we would really like some crystal clear direction on what you're looking
right.
for.
Let me ask a question of staff here. Mary, what if, I forget the exact name for it, but...
Staff conformance review.
Well, it'd be, have to be a little more than staff conformance review. I would like to have...
Designated.
The elevation in color reviewed by a designated member of this board.
Okay.
And I would very much like to designate Member Whalen if he would like to do it. Because I think that's the only sticking point we have. I mean, we're not looking to turn these into, you know, thatched, you know, something out of a Thomas Kincaid painting. yeah. But I think that at least we could be specific about doing some variation of materials on the bottom floor to give the building more of a base, I think would be the way to phrase it.
Yeah, I had more variation of window, building more of a base, modify base.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that being said, can I get a motion for somebody for design review approval based on that condition?
Before you make the motion, so we would bring in a elevation of a three-story building. I'm trying to really know what you want so we can
what
nail
you'll
it
come
next
back,
time.
What you'll be coming back with is plan and elevations of the buildings in color and identifying the materials on the base. And well, the material, the colors and materials on the building, and or including window arrangement.
And I assume we can do that in a customary or in a typical building. For them to color all four sides of every building takes time.
Okay.
Okay. Typical.
Yes. There we go. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
We have two-story and three-story buildings. So
I'm speaking more to the window variant.
Right, we have 1-bedroom, 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom.
So what we're looking for is a typical elevation of each of the different building types.
Okay, so there are then 6 different building types out of these 8 buildings.
Okay, but there are 2 stories and there are 2 story buildings and 3 story buildings.
Right, but the way that the units mix around the site and the way that they are configured, we have multiple variations from building to building, and so I just want to be clear on what you're looking for.
Maybe we should review that on the side.
As well as your 3D renderings too will be updated with the new changes. Those renderings are up to date.
Yeah.
I'd be satisfied with three elevations and I'll leave it up to you to pick the three most different ones.
Okay.
All right.
Understood. Yes.
Fully rendered.
Yes. So, based on that, can I have a motion?
Mr.
If not,
Chair,
I'll give it a try.
Mr. Chair, we also, if the motion maker can include the findings, please.
Yes. I'll give a shot at it. I'd like to make a motion for granting design approval with this project that, based upon the findings, the DRB findings that we had, that it's compatible with the neighborhood in size, bulk, and scale, its layout and orientation. It's not going to affect public scenic views. As far as architectural quality of architectural design, we find that the architectural design is complementary to the area there, and that it meets all the qualifications listed in here. And quality of landscape design, that the landscape is appropriate for the site, that the selection of plant materials is appropriate, that the project preserves and protects to the maximum extent any mature specimen or skyline tree. It's a reasonable amount of grading, not an overage amount, and that it does maintain three existing coastal live oaks and the two cedars and canary palms. As far as zoning, public health, safety, and welfare is protected. It has adequate street design and parking, and we support it on all those counts with the proviso that the applicant get approval from the designated member of this board regarding the modifying of the building exterior with regard to the base of the building and or window placement to create a little bit more residential feel. Oh, and that in lieu of lit individual addresses, an easily located, accessible, located directory sign is preferable. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Okay. One nay. Five ayes. And that's that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. At this point of the agenda, we're down to announcement by members. So, anybody wish to have any announcements? No announcement by members, then I hereby adjourn this meeting.
It's marvelous that you should care for me, care for me, that you should care.